The Word. The Word of what? The Word of God. Is there any other word? Well, yes, there is, unfortunately. There's the Word of men. There's the Word that is the traditions of men. There are customs and doctrines, and there's also Satan has a word. So a person can become very confused when you listen to all the doctrines that are brought forth in this world. But there is one thing that is really quite simple to follow, and that is the Word. Why? It has never changed. It shall never change. Though it can be considered that the Word is dispensational, yes, because it speaks of different dispensations, but in fact it is an actuality, which means, I suppose we could say, it is factual, meaning it is a fact, meaning this, it's a reality. Parts were written long ago. Parts that spoke of, for example, Psalm 22, the crucifixion. The very fact written 1,000 years before the event that the Roman soldiers would gamble for the clothing of Christ. Then how can one doubt the validity, the truthfulness, and the fact of the living Word? No, there is no end to it, though, when we teach book after book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, that our minds grow, and each time we cover it, they grow more. And the Word is pregnant, meaning it is ever producing. The Word doesn't change, it's just that sometimes we mature a little more in it, yet there's still a long way to go. I just want to talk about the Word today, and naturally the place we start is John chapter 1, verse 1. And John chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos." In that beginning, the word "was" here in the Greek even means, if you would, it pre-existed. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's why when I sign off our broadcast, I like to say, the most important thing in your life is staying in the Word of God, and every day in it's a beautiful day. And then I ask that little question, you know why? Because Christ is the living Word. And naturally, how can you go wrong? Oh, well, you don't understand, brother. Sometimes things go wrong. You bet, and you end up being a better person because of it, too, don't you? You're not quite as stupid as you were before God shaped you up a little bit and learned you how to deal with life. You begin to understand that is God's way of teaching us is a little troubled water never hurt anyone. Or it may have tossed them around at the moment and they may have screamed in anguish. But if you're in Him, number one, you know you're going through it. You know you're going to survive it either here or somewhere else. There's no end for you. And really, there's not that much need to get upset about it other than use your faculties to figure out how to get out of it the easiest way, to overcome. And of course, you overcome by and in the Word. The Word is something you can count on. Many things change. Well, you could learn the profession, perhaps, of how to repair, well, I used it once before today, corn binders, you know. And that, you could go to college on repairing corn binders. But you don't see corn binders anymore, hardly ever. You may see one or two. And saw one old boy tie himself out in one of them one day. He tripped the, got in it to see because it wasn't tying good, and it happened about 5 miles from here, and he tripped it, and it tied him out and threw him out the back, you know. I really don't know what that has to do with this, but it's just one of those things. It's old Marshall Duncan out here. It's one of my neighbors. But anyway, corn binders are no more, so what good would that have done you? Not for the moment, fine. But you see, what you grow in the Word is eternal. What you learn from the Word is not a waste of time. What you acquire from the Word of God will always be active, timely, good counsel, good advice, the correct road to take. So when you study in this Word and when you absorb it, you're studying something that will not change in this dispensation nor those to come. It is always the same. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He spoke, and nothing became everything. And even in the crucifixion, I want you to see a little deeper picture this morning. For flesh, even the flesh of Christ, perfectly precious as it was, His message was, there are better things to come. Though that flesh paid the price, though He lived and tabernacled in flesh, He was showing you that there was a better body to come, a better time to come, for those that believe. In Him was life, not just what we consider life in these little old flesh bodies, eternal life, a life forevermore. And the life was the light of men. It's the only light that will protect you in the darkness. When all others stumble and slip and slide, in confusion and in wonderment of what's happening in this world, His light, because of this counsel, will light that path. And though you might slip a little bit, you'll have help getting up, because He will take you, as a shepherd does a lamb, to his bosom if necessary, and carry you. That is His promise. And the light shineth in darkness. There cannot be any darkness for you. Do times seem dark? Then look at the light and the reflection thereof. Open your eyes and see what's happening in this world, for it is nothing but the plan of God, this Word, coming to pass, a reality. And the darkness comprehends it not. There is no way, if someone is blinded and if they are in the darkness as to God's overall plan, there is no way that you can touch them except God caused the seed that you may plant to sprout. Man cannot do it. That's why you must pray for people a prayer of intercession when they do not have ears to hear the beautiful Word. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That all men through Jesus Christ, not John, could and would have that opportunity to believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That is to say, even ere the beginning was the Word, which is to say the light. I would hope, if you can cause your mind to go back to that time, to know that God was even thinking of you at that time, that in this dispensation, in your fleshly walk, that He would provide a light for you when it would become dim for many, that if you would believe, that He would touch you with that light, and there would be no shadows as long as you understood that light. And yes, Jesus was that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that came into the world. We covered 10. He was in the world. Christ walked in a flesh body just like yours. It could bleed. And were it not for his faith, it could have been ill. He tabernacled in the flesh. God Almighty. Well, I don't know why God put us in these flesh bodies that are so painful. He did it. He has always shown you the way. That Well, he doesn't know the pain I go through. Shame on you if you would ever think such a thing as that was the pain that was on the cross. Crucified, nailed to the cross for you. To pay that price, but yet to show you at the same time the way, the resurrection into a new life. Enjoy the light. For it is the only true comfort that is stable and has a foundation and shall never change in this world nor the one to come. No, he was not ashamed to be in this world and to live in the world. He came unto his own, and his own refused to receive him not. It was not at the first Advent time. Those lost sheep of the house of Israel, he sent his apostles to them. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In other words, much of the world refuses him. What is he, incidentally? The Word. This Word speaks of him. It gives you the path. It gives you the way to walk. And when you choose him, and the choice is yours, nobody's going to force you. I'm certainly not going to force anyone to believe, nor would I even desire to, but only to speak of it, to tell of it, to share it with the world, that there is a light, and you can come into it if you so choose. And when you come into that light, you have power over the world. When negative things begin to happen, you can put a stop to it by thinking on a higher level, by perhaps in the counsel of God being a little wiser than the ways of men of the world, because you know from God's plan what tomorrow brings, and a man that cannot be successful with all that information, he's got problems. Really has got problems. But you can become, even as he was the only begotten Son of God, a Son of God through adoption to the kinship that he has set aside for you. What a closeness. What an outreach to your heart, mind, body, and soul. And all you have to do is say, yes, he is my Father, and I love him. 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. The will of the flesh has nothing to do with it. The will of the flesh is usually some negative thing. Not for of the will of man, but of God. To be born again back into the womb from which you came. Quite frankly, not as the born again that some would teach today, but born back into the family from which you sprang. The family of God, being a son of God, a daughter of God. In this earth age. 14, and the Word, this is the subject, the Word was made flesh. Literally, this Word was in the embodiment of that flesh body as Christ, the light, walked this earth to show you in the form of God, hey, I'm a can-do type person, and you can be too if you'll be my child. If you'll stand up and say, I am a can-do type person, little trouble, shoot, don't bother me. I'll plow through it, and I'll sink the beam just a little deeper when we come to the hard spot. Because I have power in the living God. Believe me, my friend, that power is as real as this Word is. That power is as much a reality to you if you believe. As the crucifixion, as the very Word in the beginning, or ere the beginning was. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now there you have it. There you have the living Word, God's promise to you. But more, though the crucifixion would have been enough, that wasn't all he taught on the cross. He taught that a grain of corn must die in the ground, when you plant it, what happens to a kernel of corn? It dies. And it's kind of old sometimes, and it's shriveled, and it's a little bit, just a little dried up, you know. But you put that old kernel of corn there in the soil, and the miracle of life and that little embryo that is implanted within that kernel springs to life, and beautiful green leaves begin to come up into a far more beautiful body. And that's what Christ taught, is that we must all live in the flesh, yes, but there are far better things ahead in that beautiful body that never, never is diseased or problems or lack of anything. He lets you know that he cared. Those of you who want to make a deeper study, Hebrews chapter 2 will fill you in. Now, let's think of this in the sense of dispensationalism for a moment, not as some men might qualify dispensationalism, but as actuality, time, cosmos, time. Mark 13, great Gospel of Mark here in the New Testament, 13. What does it have to say about the Word? You all know that Mark 13 has to do with men saying, Jesus, what's it going to be like at the end? I want to know what's going to happen at the end. It's been the question of man from the beginning of time. And he told us seven things that would come to pass, which are the seven seals, the seven trumpets. But it's actual things that you're living, that you're seeing today, especially in the new world order that is coming forward. What a precious generation this is that observed the fig tree being planted in the year 1948 and have logged these things off one at a time. To observe what is happening in Judea. When you see that spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, know that it's even at the door. And I say to you, my friend, you better listen carefully, for the knock on the door will come at any time. Are you teaching the any moment doctrine? Yeah, yeah, you might say that. But there's some things we've got to do before the true Christ returns, right? But back to the subject. The Word spoke and gave us seven things. And then there was something said in this 13th chapter concerning the Word. Let's pick it up with verse 29. So ye, this is just after the parable of the fig tree, which Jesus said, maybe you should, he didn't say maybe you should learn it, he said, learn it. You're going to need it. So ye and like me, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the door. Better translated, he is at the door. Verily I'm saying to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. That generation was on this earth in the year 1948. The first time that since Israel became a nation and was claimed as that biblical place, which was the replanting of both the good and the bad fig. And verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What is it that will not pass away? My word shall not pass away. Okay. My word, let's read that again. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Meaning what? This heaven age and this earth age shall pass on. But my words shall not pass away. In other words, God's word shall be the same tomorrow as it was yesterday. As it is today, and as it always shall be. My friend, if you live a life where you can never be sure of anything, you're a troubled person indeed. You've got problems. But when you will anchor yourself in something that won't even change when this fresh life is over with, and if you will anchor yourself in that, you alleviate many of your mental anxieties automatically. They're canceled. Because you know that you're in the light, and that you are studying something that will do you as much good in the world to come as now. The living word that never, never changes. This reminds me, you know, we read from the New Testament. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40 real quickly. Isaiah chapter 40. Did it only say in the New Testament, the New Gospel, that this is how it would be? I think not. For I just made the statement, the Word never changes. We're studying here somewhere around 650 to 700 B.C. These are the words that were written then, and I assure you the Word was no different in 700 B.C. than it is right now. And I'm going to begin to read. Listen to the words with the groundwork that has been laid pressed upon your mind. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Yahushalom, that is to say, your peaceful habitation, and cry unto her that her warfare, or her hardships, is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. She gets a double reward, both in punishment as well as blessings. Think in your mind, as yet, though this is yet future, even New Jerusalem. You understand, this that was written 700 B.C., that would be almost 2,700 years ago, is yet to come to pass. But you're going to find that it is the same we've been discussing from the Gospel. The voice. What is the voice? The voice is the Word. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Prepare the way. He's the same. And of course it was John that was in the spirit of Elijah that carried this self-same message forward, that voice from the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the living God, the Word. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. When you take this Word, and when it is taught properly, there are no hard places in it. There are no hills. It is in the simplicity in which God, the voice, taught it. And it flows like honey over the buds of your mind. It proves the path of the obstacles that the traditions of men would place in your road, or the darts of Satan that he would cast at you to interfere with your tour and duty as a courier of God's Word. This Word straightens that path and makes it easy, because you have the power. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. There will come a time when every knee shall bow. There will be no exceptions. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And of course that time comes on the first day of the millennium. All flesh will see it and know it, as a big change is taking place. In the twinkle of an eye, in one instant, the voice said, cry. That means shout. Don't be gentle about it. Get the word out. Shout. And he said, what shall I shout? What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. What happens to the flower of the field? Ooh, when it pops out there, those beautiful wild flowers in the morning brought forth by the dew of God, and they spring forth and they are beautiful, and the east wind hits it and it kicks up its yellow heels and perhaps ends up in a bale of hay. It dies. All flesh must die, for flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And even as the flesh that Christ walked on the earth, being crucified, paying for our sins through repentance, he arose. He was resurrected into a perfect body, though he was perfect even in the flesh. Thank God, and praise be to God for it. What he's saying is, it shall happen to all flesh. At that instant, at the twinkling of an eye, all shall be changed, and it shall be a much better world. Just like that flower of the field. I love it, the way he uses analogies whereby you can relate to it. You take the grass out in your front yard. Well, honey, you better get out there. That stuff's going to take us over if you don't get the lawn mowed today, you know, and you get out there and your grass is tall and beautiful. And you know it. Where did it go? What happens to it an hour later? It withers. And it is as though it was not. And so it is with these fresh bodies. But a beautiful, far more beautiful thing takes place. For to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord in a perfect body, a beautiful body, a body that shall never feel pain, a body that will be able to be a true servant of the living God. 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. In other words, it was God's plan that it happened this way. So could there... Well, I just hate to think about this. Well, I kind of do too. It's the law of survival that God places in these old bones. But I'm funny. I'm kind of like Slim said a few minutes ago. He said, I'll stand up, but it may take me a half hour to get up there. You know? Well, you know, as you begin to, they make the chairs shorter or something, and it's harder to get up off of them and everything, you know. And there are times, and then you begin to wonder sometimes, hey, God, if he's a loving God, is going to have something better for us. And indeed he is, and that's what he's saying. But he doesn't want us to have to suffer through these things forever. All right? 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We will change, but this word shall never change. It is profitable both to you yesterday, today, and it shall be profitable to you forever. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And I say to you this day, my friend, if you are not familiar with the miraculous happenings of and the touch of our Father's hand on Desert Storm, then you're asleep. You're asleep indeed as he miraculously, with hundreds of thousands lost on the other side, brings our gallant troops through warfare, burning oil, with miraculous losses. The touch of God's hand for those that would call on his name. It was remarkable that Saddam Hussein called our God three times. He said, they are a people of Satan, and we shall defeat them. God will have the victory. Boy, he was right about the last part. God did have the victory, but he found out that our God was not Satan, but the living God, and the living God touched him, and he is a marked man, the butcher of Baghdad. Your Father is in control. The nations mean nothing to him. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. I tell you this, he is coming. It is known as the second advent. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Are you handicapped? Do you have a physical defect? He will literally pick you up at that time and bear you through. It doesn't matter that the bones are old and creak. They will get a new grease job. All right? You'll move like a deer in the field. As God touches his own, and the champions of this end age come forth in the service of the King, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Hey, he created all the oceans. Can you measure them? And meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. We had a little 4-point-something earthquake over here in the Mississippi Delta You can even measure the earthquake, much less the soil that has moved, the dust that he spoke, and nothing became everything. Man cannot even measure that hardly with true accuracy. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or his counselor has taught him? Have you? No, I would think quite the contrary, that this word, the word, has taught you. It has brought you to an understanding. No one counsels God, for he is the Word. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Did you? Well, I've heard some people talk, and I really think they seriously think they have. For they know everything, and you can't tell them anything. When you meet a person like that, you have a special person indeed. They are probably billing themselves as the counselors of God. We call them in Arkansas know-it-alls, you know, because they indeed do feel they know it all, but they know very little compared to the counsel of the living God. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Do you know how much God worries about these drowned nations that rush to bring in the new world order? Not even a drop in the bucket. Do you think Desert Storm was a problem to him? Not a drop in the bucket. And are counted as the small dust of the balance. He doesn't even pay that much attention other than he's in control. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. It's small stuff to him to move nations. And Lebanon was not sufficient to burn. All that place, the beautiful snow-capped mountains, Lebanon meaning white, for that simple reason. Not the beast thereof sufficient, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. What do you think he is concerned about the new world order, other than it fits his plan and purpose to bring in the negative force? Nothing. Vanity. A time passing. So don't get yourself too wrapped up in it, my friend. For it is vanity, meaning emptiness. Nothing. Am I telling you not to be alert? Oh, yes, because that is the sign. But don't put your faith or strength in it, or take your support from it, for it is vanity. And God counts it so. To whom then will we liken God? Let me tell you something before we even start. There's no comparison. Or what likeness will you compare unto him? There is none. The workman mounted, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. All right, well, let's cover it. We've got time, don't we? Yeah. The workman melted a graven image. Man's always got to see something he can compare God to, so sometimes they make something, too. And in this generation, it might be a shiny, brand-new car. I love it. I would have studied my father's word a little bit, but I got to polish the car. You put it before God. You put it before the most sincere thing in your life that brings you eternal peace of mind. So don't look down on these people that put gold over a stick, all right? We've got gold over a lot of sticks in this generation, and it might even be for some, money. It could be a lot of things. You understand what I'm saying? We love imagery if you're not careful. I can take security in this. If I get hungry, and for those of you in the tape audience, I just pulled my wallet out of my pocket and I'm holding it in my hand. If I get hungry, this will feed me. Well, now, wait a minute. A hamburger. Okay? But don't put your security in things that's made with hand, even if it is the money's in your checkbook. If a whole nation is as nothing to God in his overall plan, then you should recognize there's something missing up here that I'm not acquainted with that is so much more valuable that is so much more precious. If God controls all these things, then perhaps I'd better get wired into Him. And then I can enjoy a part of that power. Let that not be your only reasoning. He is your Father, and He loves you. He is your closest kin. You see, He created your soul. That little thing that you think with, the spirit being, the intellect thereof, He's the Father of it. He's the closest Father you'll ever have, even above your flesh father. Okay. But what man ought to do that sort of thing, casting silver chains, verse 20, he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, Jesus a tree that will not rot, and he seeketh unto a man and a cunning workman to prepare a graven image. That's face little of face on it. That shall not be moved. He's going to put it out there, and that's God. Have you not known? That's a question. Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? What was from the beginning? The Word. Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Or I might ask you, were you chosen before the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. And so they are to Him. Let me tell you something. If you get a raw deal in life, but boy, they really put it to thee that time. Well, have you told your Father about it? He knows, but He wants the declaration to come from you, and He's not going to move one hand to retaliate against those that offend you until you tell Him about it and ask His help. Because asking is believing. And He wants to know that you believe in Him. Let me ask you something. I wonder how many of you that have children, how many times it's been in your life, I would really like to give this child that, but I know I want them to ask me first. Because it will prove to me they love me enough that they would come to me when they're in trouble and ask. Don't you know that your Father has the same love and compassion in His heart? That He wants you to come to Him and say, Father, help me. And that chief shepherd will reach out. He will place His arm around you, and He will draw you to Him, and He will feed you, strengthen you, and protect you, but not only probably giving you what it is that you're asking for, but something far more valuable, and that is a better understanding of His love for you. They shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. None of these idle things are going to amount to a hoot. And He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Got anything you're too proud of in this world, friend? Oh, this earth age, friend? That you really want to take with you? Well, I think I won't even make a comment on that. To whom then will you liken me? God asking you. Or shall I be equal for the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, He hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by their names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, and not one faileth. Do you understand that He's talking about you two? Do you know that He knows every one of you? I think that a dear lady, bless her heart, could have 20 children and could almost tell you which one was crawling up on her lap without seeing its face and call it by name. And God, who has children, billions now and always has, knows each of you by name, knows your hurts, your wants, can even read your mind, and He loves you very much. He does not utilize those things to take advantage of you, but to help you when you will let Him. No one compares to God, and He will not let the least one faileth if they reach out and say, Father, I love you. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? I'm going to do this because I know God won't see it. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, faineth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding, even your smallest thought, beloved, there is no searching of His knowledge. He giveth power to the faint. Are you faint? Do you feel weak at times? Do you feel downhearted? He will give you power. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Those of you that think, I don't amount to a hill of beans, I don't care if you're the poorest person in the world, if you have Christ, if you have the Word, you're one of the richest, because you have that same power, that same strength, that same might to be a champion of the people, God's children. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they, rather, that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The Word of God is eternal. And the living Word is returning. He is returning again to walk with man. But the Word has made you conscious and present of mind of many things that shall not fail. He has made you conscious of those seven things that He said will come to pass in Mark 13, and what you are to do in relationship to them, and He has given you a stamp to guarantee that you will overcome in your travels, in your accomplishing those facts, those feats, if you wish to call them that. You will have the victory, for He will give you that power. It is not we going to do it, but Almighty God. Let me tell you something. I would like to think that this ministry sets an example to many people, a small church in Northwest Arkansas. No man could have built a ministry that has grown to the size that this has. Do you realize that by 1 week from today, almost every citizen, even on Guam in the South Pacific, will have Shepherd's Chapel in its living room by television? Live. Think about it. I only use that as an example of how far away it is. I know it real well. I spent 18 months in the Marianas one time. I'm real familiar with the place. But God can use whomever and whoever He so chooses. And here, as of this week, signs 47 million homes. And on shortwave radio that we go all the way around this globe with live daily, whereby people can hear the Word, it never changes. That, my friends, is a miracle. He had made these statements. Then, I'm reading St. John chapter 12, verse 28. Then came there a voice from heaven. What was that voice? The Word. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And I tell you this, beloved, there is a second advent. It shall be glorified, and this generation shall see that season. I truly believe that. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said, it did. Did it thunder? Did you hear that? Others said, an angel spoke to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice, that's the Word, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. And so it is today. Christ did not have to come to this earth for his sake. He came for ours. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Are you ready for it? Do you know who the prince of this world is? He's the prince of darkness. So you're going to need all the light you can get. His demonic spirits have already been cast out. But he very soon shall be cast out de facto, as it is written in Revelation 12:7. And I, Christ speaking, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Did it say part of the men? If I die, that's what Christ has said. Let's just get this down where we can understand it. Christ said, if I die and am resurrected to Almighty God, so shall all men. To be absent from this body is to be present with the ground. You don't plant somebody in the ground. You only plant the corn and the peas and the steaks and all the things that you have partook of that form this old flesh of meat, this chunk of meat. That's all you bury is the chunk of meat and the soul, that beautiful body, immediately returns to the Father that gave it. That's what Jesus is saying, not some. Well, I thought some of these sinners was going to hell. Well, give them time. Give them time. You got to go to the Father first to be judged, right? And judgment day doesn't happen until the end of the millennium, all right? And he continues. This he said, signifying what death he should die. He wanted you to know he would be crucified. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. We've heard that the Messiah lives forever. How can you talk about dying? And how soon shall the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Beloved, the Old Testament said he would die. Did it not? We read it today. It said he came in the flesh. And it said that all flesh must wither as the grass. Did it not? I believe that's what it said. So if God came in the flesh, he also had to die to be resurrected to live eternal. He did that for you. For there would be many that would tell you, Messiah is supposed to live forever. God's word doesn't declare that. Man does. Man's tradition. That's why many did not receive him when he came. Because they were not familiar with the fact that inasmuch as he was embodied in flesh, he had to be shed to enter the kingdom of God. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You're going to fall. Who is the light? The Word is. Absorb it. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. And beloved, the children of light have the blessed privilege of knowing that light never changes. That light never burns out. You don't have to replace the filament of that bulb. That light is eternal, and not only that, you can always count on it. It has been. It was with him in the beginning. When he spoke, and the Spirit moved upon the waters, what did you think that Spirit was? It was the Holy Spirit, which is to say, the living Word. Then do you not believe that the Spirit has power? Do you not have the Holy Spirit in you? Well, I think so. Well, don't you ever use that power? Well, I didn't know I could. Then start. When you get in trouble, you're a child of God. Act like it. Stand up. You're not a second-class citizen. You're a son of the King, a daughter of the King, a child of God.